Blog Talk Radio.
Give me 24 hours.
In Sudan.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Jamaica.
Give me 24 hours.
In Haiti.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Kenya.
Give me 24 hours.
In the Congo.
Get out of town by Sunday.
North Carolina.
Give me 24 hours.
In Georgia.
Get out of town by Sunday.
Mississippi.
Give me 24 hours.
In Louisiana.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Alabama.
Of KJMA's practice of constructive community reporting, we have invited Dr. Khalid Mohammed, Minister and Supreme Captain of Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Elite Fruit of Islam, to help us to put today's events into perspective. Dr. Mohammed.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The Honorable Elijah Mohammed and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teach us that no matter how bad the condition looks that the black man and black woman is in, no matter how much self-destruction, no matter how much destructive behavior and conduct we see on the part of the black man and black woman, no matter how low the black man and black woman has fallen, the black man is the original man, God's people.
Could you help us to understand the kind of forces that create a Frank Williams?
When we look at a Roberta, a Frank Williams, and the many Frank Williams across the nation of America and the black nation in general, when we look at a Frank Williams, we see one who is other than self. And when we see him doing evil, we see him doing evil which is learned behavior, learned and picked up from the very devil himself over the past 400 years. I guess, Roberta, we could say the devil made him do it.
Black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Shah Saddam Kweli. Happy to be here with you on another power-packed edition of Black Power Radio. As always, we come to you every Monday night right here, 8 p.m. Eastern, from here in the hills and smells of North America. Open up in the name of the black God who enters to many different names and give it thanks to all of our ancestors. We welcome you out as we come in the name of that black man you just heard, the bold black power general, the honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we give thanks to all of our freedom fighters and strugglers. You will hear tonight from many of his comrades, his allies, his supporters from various walks of life coming in from the Nation of Islam, coming in from the New Black Panther Party, coming in from other segments of the nationalist community, the RBG community, the 5% Nation of Gods and of community, gangbangers, street activists, youth activists, and on and so forth from different parts of the country as he would have wanted it and as he organized it. He always organized on a common thread of unity. And so I don't want to even be long at all tonight. I'll have a co-host tonight with me at some point, Minister Akbar Muhammad, our National Minister of Justice. And we got to start it off right, giving thanks to a man who you'll hear from in a few moments, our National Chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. But we have to bring in our Chairman Emeritus and that protege, that most visible mouthpiece of Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who served as his National Minister of Justice, his national spokesman, his representative. And he is fighting and working with Black Lawyers for Justice. As he is an attorney, you know him well. Black man needs no introduction at all. But we will lead off this in the proper fashion and the proper manner with our Chairman Emeritus, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. I believe that he's on with us. I hope he's on with us now. I'll bring in Minister Akbar, the co-host. He's here right now. Minister Akbar, are you on?
Assalamu alaikum and black power to the black nation and black power for the comrades in the black nation.
All right, black power and walaikum salam. But let's see if the mighty attorney at war and attorney general, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, is on with us. But attorney, you're on with us, black power. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, you there with us? Okay, he may not have made it in just yet. We are going to hear him right away. and we'll bring him on first. But you were here for some great, 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 great warriors and comrades. We were here from some great ones. Our sister, Sister Erica Bartu, who will be joining us in. We'll hear from the great Chuck D, who will be joining us in. Brother Terrence Muhammad, who will be joining us in. Brother Reginald Muhammad, who will join us in. The international representative of Mr. Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, Minister Akbar Muhammad, will join us in. Former national spokesman and principal in the Savannah schools, Minister Yusuf Shabazz, will be on with us. This is a power-packed lineup. That's coming in here. So we gotta move this thing along. You wanna say something, Brother Akbar? Oh, I thought Brother Akbar was saying something, but Akbar co-hosting his car dropped right hold up. Welcome to Black Power Radio, family. As it is my honor to be here with you all, and always my honor to host these shows with you every Monday night. The number to call is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447, as we pay tribute to the man known as the Black Power General. The Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, of course, a black man who we cannot allow to be written out of history, whose works have to be lifted up. Before this newer generation, who you have to understand what he did for many in the hip-hop industry, many in the street life, many who just come up out of college and were youth activists, many in the Nation of Islam, many in the New Black Panther Party, many all across the place, the Republic of New Africa and other areas. We got to know what time it is with this black, but I want to see if Akbar got that one. I know that our attorney at war and attorney general, here he is. He's here now as promised, and he's going to lead us off. And there is no better brother that I can think of to lead us off, as he has been the trailblazer and a trailblazer, the most visible trailblazer in North America and throughout the world, for the mission and commission of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, a man who can share with you many war stories. Let me bring him on, and you all receive him in your radio listening audience, wherever you are in the world. This is the Attorney General, Attorney Wall, the President of Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power, sir, welcome.
Yes, Black Power, can you hear me?
Very well, sir. Welcome to the broadcast. How are you?
All right. Thank you so much, Minister Sean, National Chief of Staff. I'm so happy to be on here this evening, and to Minister Hashim Nzinga, I'm so happy to be on the Black Nation's, really one of the black world's top radio station, the hottest radio station, feared by the enemy, listened to by the enemy, listened to by a whole lot of black people, and with a top quality lineup of guests. One thing for sure, Black Power Radio is at the top in the Black Nation. I'm happy to be on here on the Earth Day celebration of Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And it's around this time, you know, that we begin to feel his spirit strong and feel his energy strong. And that is because his spirit, his energy, his life force, his word, his teaching is in the mind and hearts of his followers and those whose lives he has touched. And it is so many across America who love Dr. Khalid Muhammad, who were taught by Dr. Khalid Muhammad, who were affected by Dr. Khalid Muhammad. So we really come, and we just, in general, in these days and times, as yesterday we were at a packed standing wall-to-wall, myself and Brother Umar Abdullah Johnson, the hard-fighting educator and Pan-Africanist and Garveyite, fighting to free our people and help our parents and our babies, and right there with Dia and Oba of the African International Merchants Agency, stellar stalwart organizers in New York, and the New Black Panther Party and the leadership from the Eastern Region, King Samir Shabazz and Brother Bilal and Shaheed, and it was a wonderful night for black nationalism and black power, and for remembering our Black Power General, we're in that time, Brother Sean, that we are right now. And so what I want to say to open up and just take some questions for you and perhaps set the tone and set the pace for our organizing here tonight. We just want to give thanks and praise to a mighty one that have come amongst us. And I am especially happy to even be here amongst all of his followers to have having served as his national spokesman and his representative and his mouthpiece and his lawyer and his defender. Really, I'm honored of all the titles that I've been able to have, national chairman, national director, national convener. All of those titles are great titles. But to be honest, one of the greatest assignments that I could ever look back on my life and say I held was to be chosen as his spokesman or representative or his defender. Just to have the time in my life to be there with him at his critical moments in time, helping him, speaking for him, fighting to clear down enemies for him, helping to heal and console him and give him aid when he need aid, ammunition when he need ammunition. Man, do you know how blessed that I feel? And for all of those of you who spent time with the sword of Allah, who had that time with him, how blessed are you to have spent time with this mighty one? You can compare yourselves in a certain sense to those who actually walked with the black Messiah of 2,000 years ago. Some were blessed at that time in the early days, 2,000 years ago, to have walked with that black Messiah and this bold black man who we have been blessed to walk with. Others of you who have maybe not been blessed to spend time with him, but you are in his spirit from the word that you have heard of this bold, bald-headed black man, this very intelligent black man, scholarly black man. Can y'all hear me clearly, or is the enemy interfering?
Yes, sir. We can hear some feedback from Minister Akbar's phone. We got it muted. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, mute that down, Minister Akbar. Now, let's talk about this black man. Understand who we're dealing with. We're not just dealing with no lightweight black man. We're not just really just dealing with a black man, though he is the personification of the black man. And he, in a certain sense, is the ultimate black man. He is beyond black man, if you can get beyond black man. Because any man on the 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth would be hard-pressed to model themselves after this black man here, we know, the black God, Khalid Muhammad. Or any man on the 57,255,000 square miles of the planet Earth would be blessed to have the courage, the heart, and the character, and the willingness to face the enemy against all odds, like Khalid Abdul Muhammad. He's a man to be compared to both original man and mankind. He had not gotten his proper place and right up in history. But we who is true believers, we are right here, the faithful. Many years after his passing, we still carrying on the work and carrying on the labor of our Lord, our black power general, but much more than that. He has really not been properly understood. As I just opened up to take some questions, brother, I really think that he needs to be reintroduced to see how deep this man was and heavy he was and how even his mission was greater than even he himself knew. Even he himself didn't know how much really God had tapped him on his shoulder to help us all. And so now we can reflect and move on. So let me be quiet for I say too much, but that's what I want to say. Open up. I want to say all praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Praise
right.
is due for every one of his teachers that taught him, everyone that had influence on him, and praise be to Allah for his life and the lessons of his life. Many, 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 many positives and even a few negatives, we thank God for all of them because it's a model in the black nation. A couple of questions, and I'm going to let the program move on.
Yes, sir. We'll start off with
matter of fact, give me 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. Let me holler at CC real quick, and I call. I'm gonna come right back to the phone.
Okay, for sure. So, Mr. Akbar Muhammad, you're live with us, brother. Go ahead and keep rolling. I'm gonna let the switchboard for a second. light up our guest audience, sir.
This is Imam Akbar speaking. Just to give you a briefing and an update on Brooklyn, New York, and the tribute on the birthday of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we were able to hear from our brother Obar, and his queen were there, who hosted us in Brooklyn last night. And the wife of Alton Maddox was there. And we also were able to hear from the doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and as well Brother Omar Johnson. And it was packed and lit up, and it's just a cross-section of people who are very much inspired by the works of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Go ahead, Brother Dr. Shabazz.
All right, yeah, sorry about that. My daughter called, and I knew I had to catch that call. I haven't talked to her in a day or so. I really wanted to speak with her. So let me do this. Out of respect for the format, I know there are many greats who are coming on this line and many who soldiered with Dr. Khalid. And so let me take a couple of questions, and then I'm going to salute the rest, and we're going to move on with this Earth Day tribute to Mr. and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad.
Okay, well, depending on how you want to do it, if you want to take some off of the phone line, that's fine. We can ask you some direct. How you want to roll, sir?
It's your show, doctor. It's your service. I'm happy to be on. You know, I'm used to running everything, and I really love it, but, you know, it's to a great thing. When I come on Black Power Radio, it's just like old times, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the titles and labels mean little, but, you know, the spirit the same, and the spirit was high in New York last night. So you go ahead. I'd rather hear your insight, because I know that you a man that studies very well. And you have studied you some Khalid Muhammad, so maybe I'll take a couple from you, the audience, and then I'll bow out.
Absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, tell us, you touched a little bit on the remembrance of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and you said that he's a man who should not be forgotten. And, you know, you said his mission was a little bit deeper than what he understood. Tell us why, in your opinion, as his former national spokesman, Minister of Justice, and all of that, why you see the present urge and need for the remembrance of him, his works, his teaching, his legacy. What does he mean to this new generation?
We need his teaching and his doctrine and the way he taught it and what he taught as much as the Christian need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It can do as much for us as black people as the Gospels have done for the Christian world, to be very honest, and I'm not being blasphemous like that. I'm just keeping it real. Here's a man here who represented an ideological marker. Here's a man here who represented a certain place where we should be at a certain time. And he was a reformer. He was a mujaddid. He was one that came to clear up the teachings and clear up the doctrine and bring us back to the fundamentals of black power and Pan-Africanism. And so, therefore, he has a scripture that has been revealed. His greatest speeches and writings that we have to put out will be put out, you know, and it has to be called the Book of Khalid. We have to put out to the black nation the Book of Khalid and put out his chapters and his verses from the Book of Khalid and put his speeches word for word there and then have his witnesses and his disciples with their words from him and put it before the people and to put it in its divine and holy form to the black nation, not just a book but a divine book, and call it the Book of Khalid. And we have to put that out right this year. We can't fail. Because our people need to hear he's bigger than the new Black Panther Party chairman. No disrespect to the new Black Panther Party. This man and what he represented is bigger than that. That's big, but it's bigger than that. Here's a man who represented some of the best teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and the best of the teachings of his teacher, Minister Louis Farrakhan, Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Mr. Louis Farrakhan had many great ministers under his ranks, but he have had no greater minister ever than Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad. This man was the man. And so whatever any of y'all think of me, know that I'm nothing compared to this man. He was even greater in importance than he understood himself, because God was using him in a way to continue to carry out the mission of the Black Messiah. And so he had it all, brother. He was an all-star. He had it all. He had all the tools. He was a theologian. He knew the Bible. And he was a Bible-toting Black nationalist. And we have his Bible. I have his Bible with the verses that he taught. He taught Old Testament and New Testament. And he talked with Farad and Elijah and Farrakhan taught him. And he relied and he taught on that. And he taught us day and night out of the book of Isaiah. He taught us the laws of Moses and Israel and broke it down day and night on America and the white man of America. I mean, he was able to take Old Testament and New Testament and relate it to our condition and teach us out of our condition day in, day night. He was a Bible-toting, Bible-thumping Black nationalist. But he's a man also that went to Mecca for Hajj 2 times and for Umrah several times. He knew the Quran, and he knew how to deal with the universality of Islam. And he also knew how to reform our minds and bring us back to reality, that even though he had went to Mecca several times, that he saw nothing in Mecca, he said, that would disprove to him that the white man was not the devil. That what he saw in Mecca verified to him that the white man was the devil. This is Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, so he could tend toe-to-toe with the Sunni Muslim and the Shia Muslim and the Ahmadiyya Muslim and the Muslim follower of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and who was a follower of Farrakhan, of Silas Muhammad, all of them. The sword of Allah is a match for all of them. He was the coldest at defending the supreme wisdom. So said Minister Louis Farrakhan. He said that this man is the best at defending the supreme wisdom. Why did Minister Farrakhan say that? Because he could take the student enrollment. The original man is the Asiatic Black man. He's the maker, owner, cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe. He could teach that, but he could defend it. He could defend it with the writings of Dr. Ben. He could defend it with the writings and the teachings of Ashraf Kwesi, of John Henry Clark. He could teach it and defend it from the African traditional teachings of the Dogon, the Ifan, the Yoruba, and the African spiritual teachings. He could defend it and reference it with the teachings of the one God, going back to Ra and Amun and Amun-Ra of ancient Kemet. He knew all the sciences of ancient Kemet. He knew all of it. He was a Mr. Malik Rashidin, and he went to the 33rd degree. God damn it, he served in Africa under Idi Amin in Uganda and planned war against the apartheid government in South Africa when the Nation of Islam fell in 75. He didn't fall. He went to Africa. He was born for revolution. He didn't smoke no cigarettes or drink no goddamn beer. None of that. This man was programmed. So most people really don't know how awesome he is. And even he knew to a degree, my dear brother, how really awesome he was. But we did not really know who he was. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own house and country. He was explosive. He was dangerous. He was a threat. He was a threat to white people and a threat to black people. You know, and so
all in all, my dear brother, I don't know if that answer even makes sense, man, other than to tell you, man, that we're not overhyping it when we say that this is one of the greatest black men of all time. We're not overhyping it when he say that if he is in part of the mission of the Black Messiah. And when he was a college student in 92, if we call Louis Farrakhan as college students our Messiah, then Khalid Muhammad, I say that he was the baby Messiah. And the two of them came to untie the colt, which is the college student. They came and got the colt off the college staff students. God damn it, a long, lanky colt named Malik Sulu Shabazz. I mean, man, God is all in this, man. And y'all got to give this man his props. God is in Master Farah Muhammad. God is in the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. God is in Prophet Noble Drew Ali. God is in Minister Malcolm X. God is in Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you better believe that God is in the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and his testimony and his book and his witnesses will be on tonight to let him know that this man's teaching, his legacy, his fight, his spirit, his track record will last 1,000 years. 1,000 years, my brother. So let me cut that answer short, but I have to be going on all day, and I don't want to go on all day. Let me just take a couple more, man, because this man is the man of the hour.
We love it. We love it. Minister Akbar, it's your turn. We're going to ask a question. Tell him how we do your bar, sir.
Tell him how we ask him.
Minister Akbar, you want to ask a question, man? Tell him.
Yes, sir.
Brother Dr. Shabazz, in your estimation, the works of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, as we have transitioned through the New Black Panther Party, and as you see many of his students that were not in the New Black Panther Party, but yet they were Nation of Islam students, there are people on college campuses that were people that are just regular, as you saw folks from Brooklyn last night, that came in, some from Connecticut, nearby Philadelphia, and all of these major cities have a place in their heart and their program and their home for the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and his teaching, his legacy, and his works that are known throughout the world. What would you say is his greatest contribution to the black community, the black nation, and to black revolution in this hour?
That's an excellent question. His greatest contribution, my dear brother, was the courage and the fight and the fighting spirit that he gave us. I would say overall, his passion and his determination to see us free and his willingness to go up against the enemy and his willingness to tell the truth to the enemy, whether the enemy or us like that truth or not. That is his greatest contribution. He makes a man want to fight. When you hear of Khalid Muhammad, you're going to be dealing with a man who was a scholar, but he was also a military man. He's a minister, the former national spokesman for the Nation of Islam, but he's also a supreme captain and a trainer of men. He's the chairman of the New Black Panther Party, a political organizer, but he's also a military man that can lead an armed military force on the ground against a well-armed hundreds and hundreds of armed sheriffs and damn Ku Klux Klan in the bush. So he comes with this multifacetedness that is rare. It's very rare that you find a man that is a scholar, a minister, Terry Mann, a Pan-Africanist, a thinker, a planner. Jesus of the scriptures say, I must be all things to all people in order that I might save some. This man is universal. This man, okay, now let's get to a few more specifics why people like him. He teaches good. He sounds good. He inspires, but he's more than just a talker. This man is on the ground. You don't just see him inside on no rostrum. You see him on the streets.
You see him confronting and facing the enemy. And I was with this black man in Jasper, Texas, and I was with this black man at the Million Youth March, and I can testify, and Minister Hashim Nzinga was with him at the Million Youth March, and Minister Hashim Nzinga was with him in Riverside, California. And we can tell you and swear on it that this man was the real deal. That when you put this man on the ground against the enemy or enemy forces, or you put him in a situation where he would have to make a decision where his life or death would depend on it, he's going to put his life on the line. He was not no damn punk, and he wasn't no faker, and he wasn't no damn talker from that rostrum. Now, I seen on that day in Riverside, California, Minister Hashim will tell you about that when he come on. But when this man know that the Jew is out there to kill him and his enemy out there to kill him, he's not hiding and running. He's looking for his assassin. He's looking for Irv Rubin to search his big cracker behind and took over the damn search procedure. I mean, this man is you ain't seen nothing like this man. I was with this man in New York City, and this man before the rally started, and we went into a trailer with the New York police, and the New York police had lied and cheated and put all these barricades up, and I remember right toe-to-toe, we went in the room, we just told them crackers face-to-face, look, I don't mind dying today. We took off our goddamn coats and said, look, he said, and he meant it. And war was declared on that day. This man did not mind giving his life. He wasn't concerned about whether he gave his life or not. So I really don't want to hear nobody with teaching that he was chastised because he died, because he said he was born to give his life. They say, well, he's chastised by Allah because he got shot. He say, shut up, fool. I'm a soldier. I'm supposed to get shot. If you're fighting a war, you're supposed to get shot. The only reason you ain't getting shot if you ain't fighting. He said, nigga, I'm a soldier. I'm supposed to get shot. And so we don't say his life was ended short. If anything, you couldn't take this man. He was a man who said, must say, I have to go away. It is expedient now that I go away from you because you are not there what I'm here to have you to do. You cannot bear what that man was going to have us to do and to hear and to have to deal toe-to-toe with this cracker. He didn't come to pin the tail on the donkey. He came to pin the tail on the honky. He came to bring us square to square and face-to-face and toe-to-toe with reality. He said, my mind is not on Mars. Our minds can't be on Mars while our behinds are behind bars. This man gets right to the point, in Jasper, Texas. I seen him right then with sheriffs everywhere, guns, armed sheriffs, damn near state, federal troops everywhere, armed troops everywhere. Gunshots could have broke out at any time and killed us all. He led us fearlessly straight through Jasper, Texas, and led it on several occasions. And so this man is the real deal. He is the truth. It doesn't matter whether anybody on this phone say he was perfect or not, because at the end of the day, Allah gonna forgive him for any errors he may have made. He exonerates this man for any errors he may have made, and he has given us his testimony in his life, the Book of Khaled, and it is a good book. And so I'm going to leave now and make space for others. I thank God for Minister Khaled Abdul Muhammad. I thank what he done for me. I thank what he did for the New Black Panther Party. I thank what he did for every black man who became a stronger, more upright, more determined, intelligent, and militant black man. I thank Allah what he did for you. I thank Allah for all of the lessons of his life, the positive lessons, and even the ones that may be debated as being negative. They are all here. But he is a man divine. He is a man in the mold of the black Messiah. He is the prototype of the black man who will model himself after this mighty one for the next hundreds of years. He is that one
We thank Allah for him and thank all of his teachers for giving him. I leave you, Black Power, and I love you all, and we stay strong in his name.
Black Power. Love you too. Black Power, we love you too. Thank you so much. Thank you for turning my link with Shabazz. You got me fired up over here. Black Power. Brothers and sisters, the number to call is 646-478-4447. You just heard the words of our chairman, Emeritus Attorney Malik Shabazz, President of Black Lawyers for Justice. He needs no introduction. You know him well. I want to bring in real quick another brother who has a quick testimony. One of those brothers you heard, Attorney Shabazz, talk about that clash at the Million Youth March, and then we're going to bring in our national chairman. He's going to take us into the next part of our program. I want to bring in Captain Talib Muhammad. Captain Talib Muhammad, can you hear us? Black Power. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, Captain Talib, 202-422, you're live. Black Power Radio, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Black Power, assalamu alaikum, brother Captain. How are you?
Loud and clear, brother Captain. Hello.
Yes, sir. Captain Talib.
Oh, yes, I'm here. Assalamu alaikum and greetings to everyone who is here on this network.
Hey, Black Power. How are you, brother Captain? We're paying tribute to the Black Power General. I know that you heard the words of Attorney Malik Shabazz, and we fired up. What is your testimony? We know you was one of the men who was right there at his side in Jasper, Texas, as well, right there at his side, Million Youth March, right there at his side many times, out in the public and privately. Give us your testimony, sir.
I'm eternally thankful to the Father for blessing me with this experience. I came to Washington, D.C. in 1991 and began to assist Malik Zulu Shabazz and ultimately became a personal assistant and finally a captain of Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Jesus who was in our midst for so many years and fought tirelessly like no man has ever done that has ever been before us. This was a mighty man. This is a man who his passion was like no one I have ever met in my entire life. I am just so dissatisfied to see that only one man amongst the entire Black nation had this kind of passion and spirit. I wish that kind of passion and spirit was in more of us that continues to do this work. I can never thank God enough for allowing me to stand by this man's side as a former paramedic and a fireman and an EMT and a military man. I took all my training and I lent my power to his power so that I could help advance this man and his cause. You know, it was a great experience. It's something that I can never be thankful enough for. And I was blessed to write the book, Fire 722, which gives an account of my experiences with Malik Shabazz, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Khalid Muhammad, and others. So if you would like to get a copy of that book, you can call Texas Southern University or reach the Houston Community College system and give the title, Fire 722. They should be able to give you a digital copy.
Beautiful, beautiful. You talked a little bit about your experience being a paramedic, and I know that you were on hand there in Jasper, Texas. Can you kind of describe the scene, what it was like? We heard Attorney Shabazz talk about his squaring off with the sheriffs. Can you describe the scene and what it was like for you? There, as you all were seeking justice for Brother James Byrd.
It was extremely explosive. And before we even left Dallas, Texas to go to Jasper, Khalid was training me and Malik Shabazz extremely hard. He was pushing us hard. It was a heat wave, 118 degrees. Passions were high. And once we actually got into the field and saw these people who call themselves the Ku Klux Klan, all it would have taken is the pop of a firecracker or the breaking of a glass or someone to push someone, and we would have literally slaughtered each other there in those streets. I mean, once you're in it, it's too late. You're there. There's nowhere to run. You have to deal with the circumstance. As a great leader, he took control of the new Black Panther Party. He organized them as well as the civilians, And he made a great statement to the United States of America and the world that we are not afraid of you. This slavery system that you placed over us, it's a wrap. It's finished. It's done. It's over. And the sons and daughters of his who will come after him will be as strong, if not stronger. This was a very dangerous environment. It was a hostile environment. I didn't have a gun with me, but I had a medical kit to deal with stab wounds and gunshots of not only him but the other comrades if they were to fall. In battle, I would have been what you would have called a combat medic, so to speak. I would have made sure that our brothers and sisters would have made it out of that environment. Hello. Hello.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, we're calling. Correct.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And
in your travels, what was the mission outside of Jasper, Texas? What was one of the greatest missions that you went on with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad in the history of your adventures with him? You have an extensive history with the Nation of Islam as well as some of the history with the Panther. Go right ahead.
Right. Well, there's so many great moments we had. I mean, just simple stuff like just me and him going through the train station in Baltimore and the Jews getting all shook up. Me and him in Los Angeles traveling together. But, of course, as we all know, the super huge moment and big event was the Million Youth March and how I stood shoulder to shoulder locked in with this man and I refused to leave him even if it meant our death. I mean, there's just so many great and august moments that we had together. If I began to talk about them all now, we'd be on this phone another 3 or 4 hours easy. Definitely a peak moment in this, I would say, was the Million Youth March. I'd have to say the Black Holocaust lecture. Some of the other lectures that we did at Howard University, Baltimore, Dallas, Texas. The list is endless. It just goes on and on. When this man passed away and made his transition, I rode to Unity Funeral Home with Malik Shabazz, and he took me to the area where this man lay in state, and I was given his uniform to dress his body in as to be prepared for burial. And that was the last final gesture that I could put forward to this great man that was before us. I made sure his Panther uniform was on perfect. I made sure his jump boots were on, laced up, and he was standing at the position of attention. I made sure that his body laid perfect and that everything was nice, crisp, and exact. The way I knew him in life is the way I buried him and put his uniform on him in death. And that was my last gesture that I could make to this great and mighty one that was before us in our time.
Black Power, we want to open up the microphone to our national chairman, along with you, Brother Talib Muhammad. Let's open up and bring in Minister Hashim Nzinga. They'll take us forward and carry us forward. Black Power, Brother Chairman, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Black Power, you're on with us. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Chairman.
It is no other honor I can have than to come on this phone that the great Africans created, Granby Wood, and this transmitter, and listen to Brother Talib Muhammad, following up Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Brother Akbar and yourself, talking about one of the greatest, one of the strongest men we know at 80 years old, Minister Farrakhan, said he was a black stallion that nobody could ride. And I know on these phones we got Brother Reginald Muhammad, who's with him in Riverside. We got Brother Taiwan Muhammad in Fort Worth, Texas. We got Brother Akeem out of Dallas. Brother McHale out of Florida. Sister Obi and Yah, who just handled the tribute in Brooklyn yesterday, and who handled his last speech, and Sister Oli is somewhere in New York on the line, and Brother Yusuf Shabazz out of Savannah, and Minister Akbar, the national minister of Minister Farrakhan, and Brother Clarence out of Alabama, and Brother Terrence out of North Carolina. And so we're going to move along, but it's just so good to hear Brother Tlaib, who I remember when they tried to say Dr. Khaled had a warrant for trying to start a riot after the Million Youth March in 98. He took a vehicle that we had brought out of Atlanta and drove Dr. Khaled nonstop them 12 hours to safety, and they was looking for him with me and Attorney Shabazz in New York, and Brother Tlaib had snuck him out of town, and me and Malik handled our business. But, Brother, I just want to say tonight the greatest honor I can give to Dr. and the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad is to say today at 12 noon, under the spirit of the man who kept me going after we stood over the body of Dr. Khaled Muhammad when he made his spiritual transition. I'll never forget the day in my life that Attorney Shabazz and I stood over the body as they did the autopsy. And as they did this autopsy in Atlanta, Georgia, on the body of Khaled Muhammad, I had to leave the room. And if you ever loved a man, and if you ever ate birthday cake with a man, and if you ever was a man soldier, and a man was like a father to you, he was like the man who touched you, like Jesus, as Malik said earlier today, as Jesus told Peter and Paul and the different disciples to put down the fish nets and put down what you're doing and come go with me. We're going to be the fishermen of man. And I know a lot of people don't like us to get real into the Bible, into these Jesus-like stories. But Jesus said, and all creators of religion and all creators of spirit say, you are created in the image of the Black Messiah. And you clean your temple, he will come into you, and his spirit can be used by you. So don't get funny when Malik says the book of Khaled, because Khaled, as he said, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do drugs, kept his temple clean. And yet, though he walked through the valley of death, he feared no damn evil, man. And so God was with him. And as we became the fishermen of man, like the Bible told us to become, the Bible say the harvest is ripe, but the workers was fruit. So the fruit who stood up with Dr. Khaled Muhammad and blazed the trails with Dr. Khaled Muhammad, God damn it, they proud tonight to say at 66 years old, he's still living among us. His spirit is still living among us. And I want to announce to Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who for 12 years carried this New Black Panther Party that Dr. Khaled Muhammad was so blessed to touch, that I signed a contract today at 3 o'clock at 2245 Godley, G-O-D-B-L Road. It's a building that's going to be named the New Black Panther Headquarters that can hold 250 people, locked it down for a year, and to purchase it next year. So the New Black Panther Party, and there's no other honor I can give Dr. Khaled Muhammad after watching him put together the headquarter out in Saleville, Georgia, never get to open it, never get to see the fruit of it. But because we kept this movement going and because this beast has helped me down, 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 God brought us up, up, up. And I'm glad to say, in black and white, contract signed, done deal, no payments, 12 months, no payments. We got a national headquarters, and we're going to put Dr. Khaled Muhammad's picture and name all over the building. So I'm proud to say we're not just talking black. We're not just going to talk you to death. We're finna go to work, and we're finna make damn sure, like Malik said earlier, Dr. Khaled has a place for all the thousands of people he touched all over this country. And anybody don't like us praising Dr. Khaled Muhammad, to hell with them. Because he was a man that deserved praise. Why? Because he did what the Bible told him to do, and we walked among him doing it. The Bible say, if you can go to the least of my people, if you can clothe my people that's naked, if you can house my people that's outdoors, if you could feed my people that's hungry, if you could teach my people the word, and Dr. Khalid Muhammad could get a holy Bible and turn it inside out and make you go to shouting and get the Holy Ghost and leave the cocaine alone, leave the alcohol alone. He'll make you put your cigarette pack down, clean yourself up, and do God's work. And he didn't talk about it. He was bowdy-bowdy. And Brother Sean, we'll get on with the headquarters later, but that's done. Been working for 4.5 weeks on it. It's done, and now we can feed people in our own place. We can keep youth in our own place. We can raise the dead in our own place. And that's what Dr. Khalid Muhammad would have wanted me to say tonight to make his spirit jump. And so I know the phones are lined up, and I heard the chairman is back. I will always call him the chairman. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz is back to say something else. But I just want to get out of the way and let you and Brother Akbar keep rolling, because I know we got a lot of callers. We lined them all up, and we want them all to get in. And I know all of them are feeling like we're feeling. And let me tell y'all this as I conclude my statement. If you get off your ass and you do some work, as I used to say all the time, you got a date when you was born, then you got a dash, then you got a date when you leave here. And the dash is the only thing that matters. That's the work you've done between the time you came and the time you leave. And if you work and you honor that dash, then what will happen one day, 10 years after you're gone, 20 years after you're gone, 30 years after you're gone, somebody will be mentioning your name like we're doing the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad tonight. Black power.
Black power. Black power, man. That's, man, wow. Powerful. But are you still with us?
Yes, sir. That's the,
Tom Liv's still on, too.
The beloved chairman in Atlanta doing the work of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and continuing the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And I don't know if this question goes to Nzinga if he's on, or to Talib if he's still on. But he stood up one day in one of his speeches. He mentioned that it's been recorded many times that I can't sit down, I can't stand down. He said, I must stand up and deal with this cracker. What does that statement mean in this hour to those who continue to work in the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad? The questions to the floor.
If yes, the sir. Chairman is on, Brother Sean, if the chairman is on, I'll let him deal with that. And if he's not on, I'll deal with it.
Well, this is Talib, and I'm still here. And when he's, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Good.
Okay, when he says that he can't back down, he can't shut down, he said, damn it, he's got to be a roughneck. So he's telling his people, not only him, but the people in this time and the hour, this is the hour of your resurrection and your rise, to accept the challenge and to tread in the press and push forward despite all opposition. The Father of time, God himself, is with you to change our condition in this wretched situation that we are in. It is not an easy journey. It is not an easy course. It's not for weak people to travel. But if you will get up and just push forward, you will be made successful on one level or another. We are in that time, and that man represented the resurrection and rise like no man before us. Malcolm spoke it well. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did it in his way. But I believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if he could be somewhere smiling today, he would be smiling down on the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and he would say, well job, well done, my son. As-salamu alaykum.
Hello?
That's right. Thank you so much, Brother Captain Talib. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, you're back on, sir.
Hey, all right, Black Power. I'm really enjoying the show, and I just want to interject here and say something. One of my most important memories of him was a very subtle moment. It was in February of 1994. It was not too long after he had been suspended from his post, but he was still speaking, and we were in Baltimore, Brother Talib. You and I were on security for him in Baltimore. It was a packed crowd at the Community College of Baltimore, and this was a big national controversy at this point. NBC was there. All of the major networks were there. But in specific, NBC and a black man who used to be a reporter, but you see him now on CNN, he was working for NBC National News. And this man who had been repudiated by the House of Representatives, he had just been suspended. He was scorned by everybody. He was speaking to a packed crowd. Everybody was hyped. And then the lecture was over, and we and I remember Joe Johns coming to him and wanting to speak to him all the way live on NBC. Now, the leadership that we knew at that time, Reverend Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton, and whoever else, brother, they would have, to be honest, they would have given their right arm, their leg, and their elbow to go all the way live on NBC national news and say whatever they wanted to say themselves, and they were the subject of a national controversy. I watched this man look this man in his eye, this man begging him to just say anything, look this man in the eye and walk off. And I watched him do it several times. And then he told me, he said, brother, he said, I don't want to, he said, I didn't speak to him and I didn't give that interview because I don't want to get so big in the media or the press that my leader and my teacher, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, can't handle me or make it too difficult for him to handle me. So I seen this man be so loyal, so first of all, anti-media, anti-self, and really at that time was trying so hard to be obedient to what he was being criticized for. I seen him reject what the average leader or civil rights leader or person would never miss, which is a chance to go all the way live. I mean, he was that disciplined. I mean, he turned down media over and over again till we turned him loose on old Phil W. And he destroyed Phil W. in one round, one-round knockout. On one sense, it was a 90-second Mike Tyson-type knockout. He knocked his cracker's block off. In another way, he knocked him down 14 times in a 12-round bout and beat the hell out of that beast. And everyone up there in the audience, when he was able to defend and finally be let loose. And so it's just those moments, man, those moments of character, those moments of principle, those moments that I saw him go through are some of my favorite moments. I thank God, Brother Talib Muhammad, you did a great job. You defended Minister Khalid Muhammad with your life in many instances, and you gave it your all, and I salute you. Many of those years, 1994, 95, 96, 97, 98, in those years when he needed security most, Brother Talib, you put yourself on the line, and you did it as a professional, and you did it with character. And you got cussed out like the rest of us. You got your ass whooped like the rest of us. But overall, Allah is pleased with you. And that's the same thing for Minister Hashim Nzinga. Minister Hashim Nzinga helped Dr. Khalid a lot. He was right there with him. He don't know Khalid from the outside in. He knows him from the inside out. He was there. He seen the blood splatter and the blood spill. He was there. He took the tongue lashings, and he got his behind whipped too. He was trained by fire. I salute y'all. I love you. I'm gone. Black power.
Black power. Black power. All right. Yes, sir. Brother Chairman, you ready to bring your desk on, sir?
Yeah, I just want to say this. See, I like this because all those guests on the line, they fired up now. Brother Reginald Muhammad is fired up. Sister Oli is fired up. Brother Taiwan is fired up. Brother Akbar is fired up. Brother Yusuf Shabazz is fired up. Obanya is fired up. Brother McHale out of Jacksonville is fired up. DK is fired up. Brother Terrence is fired up. See, what happened when you start hearing these stories, your spirit can't be still because Doc is knocking on your head. He's knocking. He's pulling you out the seat. I'm fired up, brother, because I'll never forget Dr. Collins' birthday when we cut a big cake here in Atlanta, and he spoke in Atlanta on his birthday, January 12th, and he cut that big cake, brother. And then I drove him to Tennessee, and he spoke in Tennessee, and it dawned on him. He said, "Brother Hashim, I spoke in Dr. King's birth home this morning, and now we're in Tennessee, and I'm speaking in the state that took him from us." And he taught, people always thought he was just this black, bald, headstrong Muslim, but he could teach some Dr. King, too, just like he could teach some Malcolm and Elijah. But, brother, look, we can't be disrespectful. All of us got stories. He shared his life with all of us. Let's just go to the line and them phone numbers and names we lined up. Let's get a sister voice. Do you see Sister Ole? Do you see Sister Ole at 444-250-518?
Absolutely, most definitely, Sister.
Bring her on in. Let's roll with that lineup. And then at the 9:30, 9:45, we got some special guests. But, man, let's just let some people talk about Dr. Khalid Muhammad. I'm excited, and I'll be quiet, and I'll just soak in what they have to say. Thank you so much, Brother Akbar, for hosting with Brother Sean. Let's roll.
Greetings, Sister Black Power. Welcome.
Black Power, Free the Lamb, Jah Rastafari, Shalom, and any greeting that we use to greet our sisters and brothers from the red, brown, and the black people. I just want to say that today, as we celebrate Dr. Khalid's 66th birthday, he made a very strong impact on young people and developing leadership among young people. I was definitely one of Dr. Khalid's proteges. I met him through the international work. He was a guest at the Roots Homecoming Festival in 1996 in the Gambia, West Africa. And he was, my father, Sehu Tao, was the chair of the committee. And they had invited Dr. Khalid to come and be one of the major speakers at the festival, which was healing around the transatlantic slave trade, connecting the diaspora with the African continent, and building bridges between the diaspora and the African continent. So I was familiar with Dr. Khalid through his Nation of Islam work and through the work on the college circuit, but it hit home for me through the connection with Africa. So on his return back to the United States from the International Roots Homecoming Festival, he and his son, Farah Gray, stayed with my father for 1 month, and they built a very strong brotherly love. And he came back to the United States with gifts that my father had given him for me. And it is through that meeting where I was to receive these gifts from my father through Khalid that Khalid told me that from now, since my dad was in the Gambia, he would be my spiritual father in America. And that was my relationship with Dr. Khalid. I was one of his confidants. I was one of the young people that's always there by his side. I did security with him. He trained me. I toured with him throughout the United States, speaking at conferences and colleges before him. We organized a lot of different functions for young people. We went to different rallies, protests, et cetera. He also had me be the Southeast Regional Coordinator of the Million Youth March, where we organized buses from the Southeast to New York for the Million Youth March in 1998. So we were very active and very organizing from a grassroots level in working with young people throughout the college campuses and the communities, whether they were in gangs, whether they were just young people who just didn't have any direction and wanted direction. And so that's what we represented. I worked with him very hard around different issues, whether it's prisons of war, organizing the community just around youth issues of violence, whether it was just trying to build and motivate young people. So today, as I speak to you as someone that loved him as a father, and I was there with him when he took his last moments of life. We were there. We spent days with him as he was on life support before we finally accepted his transition into the spirit world.
Sister Holy.
Yes.
See, Brother Sean, this is so beautiful, see, because not only she worked at the 1998 March, see, everybody can say, I worked at the 1988 March because Doc was here. But they say when a great leader falls, you give him a proper burial. And the way you honor him, you keep up his work. But Sister Ole wasn't only at the 98 Million Youth March. She came back and was at the 2013-15 anniversary. And she wasn't
That's
only
right.
at the 2015 anniversary of the Million Youth March. Yesterday, she turned in a story that's going all over the world today for Source Magazine because she's a great writer. And why?
That's
when
right.
Doc made his spiritual transition, she didn't stop his work. She was with us in front of Miss Johnston, the 92-year-old queen that fell to those crackers' bullets. She was with us out there with Malik facing the FBI and telling the mayor, Shirley Franklin of Atlanta, and telling the police chief, Chief Pennington, that some police got to go to jail or hell tonight because they done killed our queen mother. Sister Ole, go on. I just want to tell them who they listening to. Go ahead, sister.
Yes. So we've been a part of the movement for a very long time, and we've worked, like we said, with Dr. Khaled and countless other mentors that have molded us and built us to continue the work. I was also one of the people that wrote his obituary in the funeral for Atlanta and New York. So for me, and numerous occasions, Dr. Khaled asked me to come on board and be the international representative for the New Black Panther Party. I've been an activist since the age of 13. So at that time, I was really traveling and learning a number of things throughout the world, trying to connect some dots. So before I actually had an opportunity to work in a full capacity, my elder, my Baba, made his transition. However, I have his stories. And he made a mean-ass sweet potato pie. If you didn't know, Dr. Khaled could cook and bake.
That's
right. Dr. Khaled could cook and he could bake. And even though people try to make it seem like he was so homophobic and he was anti-Semitic and these types of things, he was at my house for Kwanzaa one time with one of these Jewish women, top Jewish women that has a foundation, and he treated her with utmost respect. I've seen him around white people who have come and embraced his work and embraced philosophy, and he didn't drive people away. So this hate mongrel that people try to make him appear to be, that isn't the type of person he was personally. Of course, he gave the white man hell, but because the white man gave us hell and has been giving us hell for over 500 years, he also understood.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 1-8-3.
Hello?
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 1-8-3.
Oh, one second. Okay. All right, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry about that. Somebody's mic was open.
Yeah, sorry about that. So I just say that to say for me right now, I feel that that spirit of Dr. Khaled and our movement that he provided, it's an ever-living spirit. It's a spirit that can never die. If you want to learn and feel his energy, you just go to YouTube, you watch his tapes, you read some of his writings, et cetera. We need that spirit right now to be infused in the young people. And any young leaders that we see amongst our young people today, whether it be musicians, whether it be sportsmen, men and women, whomever, that carry that spirit, we need to garner support around these young people because they are the voice of our young people today. And we need to make sure that energy, that spark, that flame that fuels the fire and that fuels the momentum of our young people is heard throughout the world, because right now we're at war even more than we were at war before. More of our young people are dying at alarming rates, whether it's through poison of the food, whether it's through the violence in our community, whether it's through the miseducation, whether it's through the music industry dumbing down our youth and turning our youth into robots. We have to begin to forge our unity, regardless of ideology, regardless of what your religious philosophy might be, regardless if you call yourself black, brown, or red, if you're about social justice and you're about working for justice for oppressed people around the world, we have to come together. We have to unite around those things that we have in common, and we have to have this united front. We have to pull in our musicians, and we've got to make them accountable to the youth. We have to make them understand that no matter how much money they have to make sure that they infuse our young people with those messages that are going to motivate them and take them to the next level that they need to go. So I just want to say that I'm with you all. Whether you see me physically or not, just know that as long as I'm alive, my life is going to be dedicated to the movement of our people.
Black power. Brother Sean, you can see what everybody who's going to come on the line tonight can teach. These are professors. These are people who understand, and the white man understand clearly this is the show he needs to monitor. And God damn it, if he wasn't monitoring this show, if he wasn't chasing us from pillar to post, if he wasn't locking us up, if he wasn't crippling us financially, if he wasn't trying to entrap us daily, and God damn it, we ain't doing nothing to fight for our people, because he don't chase you if you ain't doing a goddamn thing.
That's right.
Now, we want to look for a number, Brother Sean, because if anybody Google Dr. Khalid Muhammad and they say his last speech, enough is enough, enough Negro stuff, revolution is the only solution, we wouldn't have that recording. If Brother Akbar on the line went to Brooklyn yesterday for not the first, not the second, not the fifth, but the 13th anniversary of Dr. Khalid. Do you see that number I'm talking about, that 347-876-0122 number? But they got several numbers. We're talking about Obar and Yah.
Wow. Let me see. Might be them right here. 347-972. Is this Yah, Obar, Black Power? 347-972. Is this Yah Obar? Let me try another one. 347-287. Is this Yah Obar? Looking for Yah Obar. 347-287. Yah Obar, y'all with us? I don't think they're on, but it's him. All right, I don't think we got him yet, but it's him. Can I be heard? Am I still on? I know I'm still on. Make sure the chairman's still on here with us. But not quite, you still with us?
Brother Sean?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I went and got him myself. I got Brother Obar on with me.
Okay, cool.
Brother Obar, hey, we're on Black Power Radio. You know what we're doing. We're continuing what you started last night. You the one started this stuff, man, this Khalid Muhammad stuff. The white man's mad at you, man. Why you have to bring this man's name up? Why can't you let him just be? Why do you got to stir these black people up? Why do you got to make them get up and follow God's word when he say the workers are free but the harvest is ripe? Why you got to stir it up, Obar? Go ahead. It's on you.
Well, one thing I gotta say is, too bad for the black man. So we got him burning up and burning in the hell where he belongs. That's all. We're gonna keep on doing what Khalid Muhammad started, and we're gonna love it. We're gonna keep on loving it. We had a beautiful time last night. It was very historical. Pan Africa laid it out. Our attorney, Zulu Shabazz, laid it out. And Omar Johnson finished it up. It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Well, you know we believe in Maya. And I ain't never seen you without your balance. Where's she at?
She'll be coming in a minute.
Tell me this, brother. I remember Doc last lecture in Harlem. I remember looking over at you, and everybody was fighting to introduce him. Everybody was there, Dr. Jeffries and others. And he brought you up to bring him on. You could have never thought in a million years
that you would be the last man bringing them up to speak. Do you ever reflect on that day?
Yeah. All the time. Well, we still can't believe that he's gone on to the ancestors, but it was just like Malcolm. People couldn't believe that he was really close to Malcolm, really couldn't believe that he was gone to the ancestors, man, you know. But it's one of those things where we have to just look at the spirit. Our culture goes really deep, and we're very spiritual people, so we have to understand that when the body leaves, the spirit is still alive.
I want to say this, brother. We love you. We love your persistence, your consistency. You've never been a procrastinator, Dr. Collett loved you the same as we do, and we want to thank you for last night. And you know the white man wouldn't give me traveling permits, but after August 29th, I'm going to be all over the country. And also, he just allowed me to work and open a headquarter here in Atlanta. But I just want to thank you because every time I go to New York, when I see you and your queen, I see Collett. I see Harlem. I see Thutmose Powell. I see our little brother who they trying to hold down that y'all nursed and watched, Brother Hannibal. There's so many on the line. Y'all hold on. Everybody going to get to go. Reginald, don't go nowhere. Taiwan, don't go nowhere. King, don't go nowhere. Mikhail, don't go nowhere. Brother Yusuf Shabazz, don't go nowhere. Brother Akbar, don't go nowhere. Brother Terrence, stay right there. Brother, is Sister Yah around yet?
Sister Yah, she'll be coming in a minute.
Okay, well, you hold on. We're going to get to a couple more. We got a whole line of guests from here to 9:30 to 9:45. Then we got some more, and then we're going to keep rocking because this is, Dr. Collett would say, this is the truth hour, and don't you touch that dial. Go nowhere, brother. Can you do me a favor and look and see, can you search for a number, 912-631-519. That's
912-631-53. We got a 912-42. Let me see if this is Brother Yusuf right here. Brother Yusuf, you on with us? Black Power. They have to bring him on in. He may not can get in. The line is so far, he may not can get in.
That's all right. Well, let's bring on 404-645-0513.
All right, got him, brother. Reverend Muhammad, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, Black Power.
Wa alaikum salam, Black Power brothers, and to the entire audience on National Black Power Radio. Thank you all, brother.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Brother Reginald. See, Brother Reginald is a special soldier. Brother Reginald was with us out in Riverside when the bullets started flying. But way before the bullets started flying and way before 1994 when I met the Honorable Dr. Collett Muhammad, he was out there in L.A. running up and down them freeways, chasing people down with doctors. Brother Reginald, it's your moment, brother. I'm going to shut up.
Yes, sir. First off, thank you, Brother Hashim, for inviting me, and thank you for the entire party for you all allowing me to say just a few words about Dr. Collett. And I was blessed to meet him, brother, in it had to be 1987. And I actually, how I first met him, I had heard about him. Now, because remember, this is before the internet. This is before fax machines and everything else got popular. But I met Dr. Collett at the Black Consciousness Conference at California State University at Long Beach. And after that first lecture I heard from him, brother, I fell in love with brother and his work, and it was reciprocal. And so, I personally had a chance to roll with Dr. Collett on many instances. We made a lot of maneuvers together, some of the things that we can talk about on air and some we can't. But the bottom line, brother, my thing is that we got to at some point document that history and do an extensive documentary film work of Brother Khaled and to disseminate that for the rest of the youth and the rest of the world. And bottom line, brother, his ability, his scholarship, sometimes we overlook his ability to organize, the military mind and genius of Dr. Khaled, and his spiritual mind and connection, that we got to make sure that we put all that in balance and put that in order and document that properly the way it should be, where it should really be done. And so, brother, that his history and his work, brother, I would never forget that, brother, because he allowed me to train with him, and he showed me a whole lot about military. Remember, at that point, I was coming out of the military around about that time. And bottom line, but when my feet hit the street, he used to like to say in Los Angeles, brother, he honestly took me under his wing. He was very patient with me, brother, and because he knew I was raw around the edges and needed some more training and extensive training. But he was able to do that, brother, and I will always be grateful for that, brother. Yes, I was there at UC Riverside back in the 80s when they attempted to assassinate Brother Khaled. Bottom line, I was with him when the politics hit inside the ranks, and there were brothers personally not wanting to secure Dr. Khaled, but he knew he could call on me if we needed to pick him up from the airport, whatever the speaking engagements was. And remember, he was really before the college circuit. There are a lot of brothers and sisters out there now, but Dr. Khaled, brother, one who had perfected that, and the students knew him worldwide. And I guess after the Cal State University, I'm backtracking now, but after the Cal State Long Beach speech, then I got my hands hold to a videotape of Dr. Khaled at the Black Research and Topographical Center in Los Angeles. So those who have never seen that speech, we got to get that, because that's vintage Dr. Khaled, brother, and his ability before, like I said, before the internet and webcast and all of that, brother, he was known nationwide and worldwide because of his work. And remember, he the travels that Dr. Khaled was able to do, brother, even come out in the 80s, really before all of the different airlines go international, Dr. Khaled was all on the continent. He had gone to Central and South America. He had gone in various parts of the world and lived in various parts of the world. So, you know, we gotta properly document that and not allow, you know, our enemies to say this is the only aspect of Dr. Khaled. And I was listening early on. Yeah, I rode with Brother Khaled, and we'd go in situations where he and I would be the only blacks up in there. And to watch him skillfully deal with the situations and people walk up to him who knew him and how he would teach them, brother. And before we leave, bottom line, they was asking for a small number, wanting to shake his hand or hug him because they saw the brilliance and the boldness of this man, brother. So, and then Brother Majid probably has one of the, there's an older Brother Majid, and I'm not sure, I knew he was in living in the South, but he has probably the most extensive library and footage of Brother Khaled. We're talking about from the very beginning all the way to the end. And so we got to, until, I won't say the end, but when he made, by the time he made his transition. So we got to really catalog all that correctly, brother, and document it. We owe it to our youth. We owe it to our people. And any of us out here talking about doing liberation work, brother, he showed us how to organize, brother. I'm talking about block by block, as he used to say, house by house, neighborhood by neighborhood. And he was so well-read, brother. A lot of times we're in the work and we don't take the time to really delve into the scholarship and the information that's out there. Well, he did all of that, and he was able to put it all together, and you saw a complete package, a complete black man, a complete warrior, a complete revolutionary by the time he has to make his transition. And so, brother, I'm proud of the work, and he certainly inspired me to do my work in the reparations work. And so every time I'm out there doing any work on behalf of any liberation work, I'm always mindful and I always remember Dr. Khaled and what he taught, brother. And so anything that I can do to help in this work. You know, I'm trying to be found doing that, brother. But again, I, like I said, I had the opportunity to really sit with Brother Khaled from time to time. We would talk for hours, and a lot of times I was just listening, brother, because he was a great, he was a master teacher, and like I said, he was real patient. And so if that meant he and I just walk in the neighborhood from time to time in Long Beach, California, in Compton, Los Angeles, wherever he was, we walk into just the barbershop sometimes. Sometimes I would just drive, and he'd say, let's stop here, let's stop there, let's stop there. And everywhere we go, the people, anytime we walked into a place, man, his magnetism, his courage and everything, when we walk in, people just want to shake his hand and just say, thank you, brother. And then, too, I had the privilege of going with Brother Khaled. We would go to the funeral sometimes, brother, in Los Angeles, California, because many of y'all know there's still young brothers who are somewhat confused about the work, man, are killing each other. But Brother Khaled could go in there. We could go into the Pueblos. He could go into Jordantown, brother. He's the one of the few people, one of the few leaders, brother, that I've seen and work with, brother. We can go into any part of the city, and the people knew him and loved him and respected him, and he knew, and they also knew that he loved and respected them. So it was reciprocal, brother. And so I saw it firsthand. It wasn't from the rostrum that I saw Brother Khaled. It wasn't from the newspaper. I was blessed to be up close and personal and under his training and under his tutelage for a number of years, brother. And so I'll always be thankful for that, brother. Brother Hashim? Hello?
Yes, sir, but let me
still with us. Yes, sir. I know you got a lot of people, brother, but I want to share that. And again, at some point, brother, we got to sit down and document the, as far as the digital as well as the print. And go back and redeal with that. And then, too, brother, I'd like to say, too, brother, you write about, I heard one of the callers talk about his ability to understand other leaders and recognize the value and the good of all the other leaders. Brother, back in, we're talking back in, had to been, I'm thinking late, no, about 1992, I was able to bring Dr. Khaled to Long Beach, California. He did a lecture on Malcolm, brother. The nation remembers Malcolm. If any of you get a chance to get that lecture, brother, but for 3.5-4 hours, brother, he's able to walk you through. You're talking about the other thing about Brother Khaled, great historian, brother, not only warrior. Sometimes that's one of the struggles in the movement. You got a brother or sister in the movement who cannot balance the scholarship with the real work that has to be done. He was able to do all of that and do it all of it really effective and at its highest level. So we always got to go back and study that model that he presented to us, brother, and his work along those lines. And so, brother, again, I'm going to end right there unless there's some questions, brother, but I thank you all again. Let's keep up the great work, and we'll continue to organize, we'll continue to build, we'll continue to develop. But certainly, brother, around the question of reparations, Dr. Khaled was very clear on reparations, brother. So as the minister told me years ago, brother, find your niche and go to work. So I'm on my mission, brother, attempting that we will secure reparations. And again, I go with the spirit that Brother Khaled and hopefully some of the lessons and the information that he was able to share with me, I go with that passion and go with that commitment. Brother, Black Power.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Black Power. Thank you so much for the resume.
Can you still hear me, Brother Sean?
Yes, sir.
We can hear you.
Yeah, boy. It's. I guess that was Brother Reginald's poem, but I just want to say Brother Reginald went on to be a professor at Clark, Atlanta, here in Atlanta, went on to own a publishing company, went on to write one of the best theses on reparations. Doc will be so proud, and he'll be so proud. Brother, do you see 336-253-4498? We're going to go to Brother Turner, then we're going to go to Brother Taiwan, then we're going to bring some Brother Akeem and some Brother Mikhail, and we're waiting on the Queen to get to the phone, too. But do you see a 336, Brother Sam? I know you got a long list of numbers, like Paul. Do you see a 336? Am I still on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We definitely are. I have my phone here. I'm sorry. I don't see 336 yet. I'm scrolling.
Let's go. Let's go to 817-528-7594, brother. I've been soldiering with for 20 some years, and Dr. Khaled Love to death, a brother that's teaching out in a college in Fort Worth, Texas, and has helped us so much with video and audio, and runs the Black Panther TV, brother Taiwan Muhammad.
All right, let's find us Brother Taiwan. Brother Taiwan Muhammad, Black Power. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Black Power Radio. Welcome again. You with us?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Man, it is a privilege and an honor to be here. I appreciate all of
you. Yes, sir. We appreciate you being on, brother. We've been a witness. I know you got extensive travels and a lot to share. Give us some of your words, brother, your testimony, your memories. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First, I open up in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I'd like to greet everyone on this conference call tonight with the greeting words of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum, brother.
I don't get the opportunity to say it often, but I really, really want to take the time out now to thank Minister and Chairman Hashim Nzinga, because it was his monumental work here in the city of Dallas-Fort Worth that laid the base and the foundation that brought me up as a young student in this work. And if it wasn't for him, I would not have met Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. So I try to thank him as often as I can in his presence to let him know that whatever goes on, whatever was under the bridge, whatever goes on, that he is my brother and I love him and I will always love him, and I thank him for the opportunity. I met Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad in 1994. He came here to Dallas, Fort Worth, just after being shot in Riverside, California. When he got here, you have to understand, I was a young student. I was fresh in the mosque. So being under Minister Hashim and then meeting Dr. Khaled, my mind was totally blown. I was in school studying journalism and radio, TV, film. So when I got the opportunity to first meet Brother Khaled, it was at the airport. And I never saw a black man so beautiful in my life. When he stepped off that plane, man, my God, it was like you was looking at God himself when he got off that plane. And once he got off that plane, his presence, it just went throughout the whole, seemed like it went throughout the whole airport. There were reporters everywhere. I was there in a journalistic capacity for the Nation of Islam. I was there to do an interview with him before he was to speak. But I was so in awe as a student, I didn't even know what to say. I didn't know what to ask the brother. So time went on, and as we went throughout the day, and we just started rolling throughout the day, I finally kind of settled down, and I got to talk to our brother and really sit down and meet him and shake his hand. And from that point on, my life changed forever. I always say that Brother Khaled was largely responsible for my personal spiritual rites of passage. He taught me so much of not only religion, but on so many topics and aspects. And like Brother Malik said earlier, I got my share of cussing ass too. You know, I didn't know how to take it at first. But as time went on and knowing the spirit of this man, he did that out of love for us. And I had to understand that over time. And I don't want to be long, but I just want to share this one story. It's a funny story to me. We had just finished the lecture. Like I said, he had come here after he was shot. So the people saw him in a wheelchair. So we wheeled him in on the stage before he was to speak. And everybody, you know, was, you know, they saw him in the wheelchair. But right before he began to speak, he got up and jumped up out that wheelchair. Is that right, Brother Hashim? He jumped up out the wheelchair, and people just went crazy.
I bet you wouldn't.
Man, I was like, this brother here is a powerful brother. That night, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a rib shack here in Dallas. They stayed open all night, and luckily they had beef ribs. But the funny part was Doc had a toothache, and he was trying to eat them ribs. And the funny thing was, man, he liked them ribs so much he wanted to eat them ribs, but that tooth, he kept getting him that tooth. Man, he slung the rib across the room. Everybody just about died because he wanted them ribs. And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the funny stories, you know, I have a Doc. We all had a serious stories, but we don't, some of us was fortunate enough to get the humorous side of him, you know. He was staunch and he was hard, but the brother had a funny side to him, man, and that was the part that I loved. And fortunately, I was available, and I was in town. I was supposed to leave town on a video shoot tonight, his last night here in Dallas, his last speech here in Dallas. But fortunately, I was able to make that speech. I was able to hold security, and I got to tell my brother for the last time that I loved him. I didn't know that was the last time. Allah put it on my heart to tell him then that I loved him. And as I said at his memorial then here in Dallas, I don't think of any revolutionary soul as dead. The thing that was buried, that the brother put the uniform on, that's not promised to us anyway. The spirit of Khalid Abdul-Muhammad lives. I'm still looking for him in the whirlwind with Marcus Garvey. I'm still looking for him in the whirlwind with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm still looking for him in the whirlwind. So I don't perceive him as gone. He's here with me. He's here with us. We are the Cubs that was always spoken of that he was going to leave. Now it's just time for us to take it and go on and do the work. As Brother Hashim said, do the work. Get up off our ass and do the work. I want to thank Malik Zulu Shabazz for the time he put in. I seen him grow up in this work. I met him as well in 1994 when he was still a student at Howard University. And I've seen him grow and I've seen him mature. And he turned out to be one of the most beautiful brothers that I've ever met in my life. So I'm just here again to say that I am a student of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. He had given me the task right before he made his transition to begin to put together his lectures and his tapes. Brother spoke of Brother Majid. I used to call Brother Majid every day. And we would get together and we would, you know, have his tapes and lectures and stuff. And I still have a lot of those tapes and lectures. But over the years, some have gotten away from me. And I will call Brother Majid again to see if we can begin to put that back together, Brother Hashim. And again, you know, Brother Khalid lives in all of us. He lives in all of us. And so I think I will leave it with that. I just, again, want to thank Hashim and Zinga, my brother from another mother. We have soldiered in this work for almost 20 years. I look at him as my real big brother. We came up in the same area. We lived in the same area. And I would always marvel at his leadership. I would always marvel at the way he handled Black history. He used to do Black history sessions here in Dallas. I mean, if it wasn't for Hashim, I wouldn't have met Dr. John Henry Clark. If it wasn't for Brother Hashim, I wouldn't have met some of the great stalwarts that we hold so dear to our heart. You know, I wouldn't have met Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour. I wouldn't have met others in this work. So, again, I want to thank Brother Hashim. You know, brother, I love you from the depth of my heart. I'm going to keep on with the work. I'm looking at this thing. There's a picture that I took of Doc when he was here in Dallas. And I believe that was 94, too. He's surrounded with the Panthers, with the shotgun.
And Black Power.
That was my picture. I took that picture. So all of that culminating as a young student was really, really the foundation of what gave me life. It's what gave me the depth of who I am today. So I thank Brother Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad for what he has given me. I thank Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz for carrying on the work. And I thank Minister Hashim Mazinga for being a brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Right. Brother Chairman, get back with us. Right. Brother Chairman Hashim Mazinga, can you hear me? No, he's having some phone issues. Brother, Brother Taiwan, thank you so much for that testimony, Black man. We're certainly appreciative. And got to get you involved in the preservation of this history. As we've been talking about all night, trying to let Minister Hashim know he's back on. He may want to holler at you. Brother,
can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now.
Let me say this. Brother Taiwan reminded me of so much when he was talking. Brother Akeem, Brother Mikhail, y'all stay right there. Brother Terrence, you next. Brother Clarence, we know you're there.
Please breathe, Brother Hashim. Brother Hakeem.
I didn't hear you.
Another brother. Brother Hakeem, I have to thank Brother Hakeem because he was there with us. He was another one that took me under his wing as a young student and really showed me how to be a soldier. So I want to thank Brother Hakeem as well.
Well, Brother Taiwan, we love you and all your many, many, many hours editing and getting them videotapes out and working with us since Doc made his spiritual transition on bringing us live TV and live video and internet, and we're going to do it even stronger 2014, so don't change your phone number. But I wanted to say this one thing, and then we're going to go to, I think Brother Terrence should be up now at 336-253.
Yes, sir.
Well, right before we bring Brother Terrence on, I just want to say this one story because Brother Taiwan talked about taking pictures with shotgun. When Doc was shot in Riverside, I'll never forget it. We had him at Sister Cheryl Smith's house in Dallas, Texas, getting him well while the enemies were looking for him. And we had the New Black Panther Party and the think tank that I ran protecting his life. And he wasn't a member of the New Black Panther Party yet, but Aaron Michaels and the guys were coming over, rotating with some of my guys from the think tank, Myot, that I ran, Metropolitan African American Think Tank. And we from Texas, man, so we all had plenty of guns. So we were rotating shifts, protecting Doc's life 24 hours a day as the wound was healing. And it just so happened, one day it was just me and Doc and Sister Cheryl Smith, and we was waiting on whoever was supposed to come next to do security. And me and Doc kept looking out the window, and there was a car at the end of the street with its lights off. But you can tell there was a weapon, a shotgun or a rifle, sniper rifle, in this car. And it was at the end of the street, and they had some binoculars. And Doc, at that time, had just got a major, major surgery. That gunshot was in the leg, but it almost took him away from us. It was serious, very serious. And he barely could stand on the leg. But, brother, you talking about a supreme captain. You talking about a supreme captain who trained soldiers. I'll never forget it. I said, Doc, I got to go down there and check this car out. He said, no, brother, wait 1 minute. That man got one of the shotguns that was left in that house.
Right.
And that man, before I could get out the back door and sneak around, I thought I had left Doc in the house. I was going out the back door, jump over the fence, come around the back of that car. Brother, before I could get to the car, Doc had the shotgun to the brother's head, telling him to open the door slowly and get out the goddamn car. And it was one of the brothers who was on post guarding his life. This is the Supreme Captain, man. One leg popped down, beat me to the car. Shotgun in the man's face, brother. And the brother was there to protect him, but the Supreme Captain was on his post. Let's bring in Brother Terrence Muhammad out of North Carolina.
Yes, sir. Brother Terrence, welcome, Black Power. You're on live, brother. I'm talking about the honor.
How you gonna make me go on after that story? After that history.
You only got enough time. You can talk all you want, Brother Terrence. Go ahead.
No, you know, I'm not going to be long, but, you know, Dr. Collins, I ain't going to be long, but I got to come strong. And, you know, Dr. Collins was loved by so many. And, you know, my understanding of Dr. Collins, it's a couple of points, you know, I just want to bring out. From a young brother that I met, Dr. Collins, when I joined the Nation, and he came to our mosque, and we had a small mosque, but the mosque was so packed in this room. It was so packed. And at that time, I was going through my transition where I had just, you know, come out of the church, which I grew up in, and, you know, been, and then 1991 got a part of the history club at North Carolina A&T State University, and we were the Afrocentric club on campus, being conscious, and then joined the Nation. And I remember the first time I heard Dr. Collins, he helped, and he had these different rings on, and he had the star and crescent, he had the ump, he had a cross. And he tied all of those realities together that I was dealing with, meaning I came out of church under the cross and I came into the Afrocentric community with the aunt, and then I had the star and crescent by joining the Nation. And he brought all of those three entities that were in my personal life together for me at that night at the mosque. And it was so profound for me the way, as Brother Reginald said earlier, his scholarship, you know, he wasn't just a rhetoric teacher, you know, he was a scholar. And I love how he ran down the knowledge and the teaching, but with the strong strength of a black man. And, you know, not even knowing at that time my insecurity or my dislike or my lack of love for being black, being dark-skinned. So being a dark-skinned, bald-haired brother and seeing that beautiful black man, he pierced in my soul the love of black, of love for self and the love of black people. You know, he pierced it, and of course, Minister Farrakhan watered it and brought me up into who I am now. Dr. Collins, you know, some people may share it away, but I can never forget my history. I can never forget my beginning of what Dr. Collins did for me. He gave me that militant spirit, you know, to go out and fight, but it wasn't just a fight with just your fists, which you could do and he wanted you to do, but he also made you fight with the word and the scholarship that he did. And not only that, the history, as you know, we've been talking about recording that history, I remember a brother named Brother Sammy, a student at UNCG, University of North Carolina in Greensboro, that wanted to bring Dr. Collins to the university, and that was a predominant white school. And so the history club at North Carolina A&T worked with his organization on that campus, and we got Dr. Collins on a white college campus. And my mentor, Urban Brismond, gave him information on the city. So he came out on the stage. He said, "What, you thought I wasn't going to do my homework?" And he ran down the road of what was going on in the city and the corruption in the city, and he just blasted. And I just remember that history and making students stand up, which made the students in North Carolina A&T bring him on the college campus. Now, at that time, and he's always been a very controversial speaker, the chancellor of the university came out and said in a press conference, the chancellor had a press conference, Edward B. Fort said that the A&T family, the Aggie family, did not invite Dr. Collins to the university. And we were saying, we were all students, the ones that were inviting him to come, so now we're not students, or we're not anti-family because we invited Dr. Collins. So he came to the campus, we got him to the campus, and he blasted. And, you know, by the grace of Allah, later, years later, I was able to bring Brother Malik Zul Shabazz to North Carolina A&T as well. But I say all that because after college produced in young black college students the fierceness and the warrior-like spirit, so that students around the country, not only did we bring Dr. Collett, but we started bringing all of our black conscious leaders. We brought Steve Coakley, Beryl Shango, Tony Brada. We was bringing Renoka Rashida, Ashwar Kwesi. We brought those kind of caliber speakers. And, you know, those were our scholars. And Dr. Collett, as you said, was a warrior. He wasn't a warrior where he had people around him as the security. He was literally his own security, even though he allowed people to be around. But Dr. Collett was a soldier. And, you know, as you look at Brother Hashim, as you look at Brother Malik, they're in top shape. They're in condition to fight this battle and fight this war. But as I close, since we have a lot more on that want to talk, I will say this in closing. But as we talk about the strength and the power of Dr. Collett, as we talk about him giving the white man hell and the slave master children hell, I really want people to know, as we're going into this Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream, and we don't really see the real Martin, I really want people to really see the real Dr. Collett. Dr. Collett wasn't just a fire dragon all the time. Dr. Collett was a lover of his people. And what I mean by that, Dr. Collett didn't just go to a rostrum and teach and yell and scream like people want to make him out to be. Dr. Collett walked the streets. Dr. Collett made sure that you got out of your houses of worship and go talk to that common man. Dr. Collett would go get that bum on the street. Dr. Collett would be like Jesus when he said, go out in the highways and byways. Dr. Collett would go talk to his people and see. He would not walk past his people. He would not look down on his people. He loved his people, and he wanted to help seriously his people. Dr. Collett had a serious love, and he had a mission. And, you know, whatever his mission or what he felt he needed to do, he did what he felt in his heart to do. But you could never, never ever say that he didn't love the black man. He can never say he didn't love the black woman. Dr. Collett was a fierce warrior. And if you don't take anything out of what his life, take out the love that he had for the people, the compassion that he had for his people, the love that he had for his people. And because just like a mother defends her children, that's what Dr. Collett was. He was a defender of his people because he had internal and deep love for us and as a people. So Dr. Collett was one of my examples of how to be strong, how to be intelligent, how to be powerful all at the same time. And so to that legacy, to that history, you know, as Brother Malik, you know, always talks about, we're not here to divide our community. We're here to unite our community. And I just know my history, my experience, when he talked at that small little mosque on Market Street, mosque number 92, and he combined my life in one single lecture to let me understand the unity of the Christian, the Muslims, the Afrocentric community. We as one people have a work to do, and I think we have to live in that spirit of work, not live in the spirit of talk, but live in the spirit of work. So our work must testify of us, and we must do that thing and stay on the front line because we are not free. But we want to be free at last, but we are not free. So Dr. Collett, you know, he said, you hold up that one finger, Unkulu Kulu. Babaluaye, and I learned the many names of God from Dr. Collett, and I remember him in 1996 at the outside the United Nations for the anniversary of the Million Man March, and he was running down that history, and I watched that videotape. Dr. Collett was a scholar, a gentleman, a father, a man of high character, and never let anybody disgrade his name because for what he did in the history of black people was very significant for our rise. He did his job, he did his mission, and may Allah be pleased with that, brother. And I thank you for the time, and I thank you for the call, Brother Hashim.
Black Power, we thank you. Brother, let me know, we got Sister Yaon, we still got Brother McHale, we still got Brother King, and I was talking to little, can you still hear me, Brother Sean?
Oh, yes, sir, keep going.
We was talking to little Farrakhan today, and Lil Farrakhan says, like his dad, sometimes he has to think his daddy went underground. And one day he's going to pop back up and say, I had to go underground on these crackers.
Yes, sir.
It don't seem like the black man is gone nowhere, man.
Right.
Hey, brother, let's bring us some brother Akeem on, and then we'll come back to Sister Yai, and then we'll bring on brother McHale, and we keep rolling. We got called out to Steve Harvey, Erykah Badu, Ice Cube. We got all kinds of stuff. We're going on 11. Let's keep rolling, brother Sean.
Yes, sir. All right, brother Hakeem Muhammad, great captain. Welcome, Black Power, man, live.
Hey, Black Power, brother Sean, Saddam Kwali, Master Trevor Hakeem, Black Power, sir. Man, can y'all believe this? It's been 23 years, brother Hakeem. You come to Bombay Boss, number 48. You told us that you were bringing Dr. Khalid Muhammad to Dallas, Texas. And you said you needed some security. I said, this brother tripping. You don't know what he just said to me. And you walked out, you got the car, and I said, open the door, brother. It's been 23 years. Wow, can you believe this? We were riding down the highway, and it was just two of us. And he said, man, what are we going to do about this, brother? I said, give me the phone. Call up Brother Bashir Muhammad, San Antonio. That's where we were headed. Told him we were rolling out, and we were bringing in the Black Power General himself. Brother said, brother, I always told you that you was a captain. That brother was in my ministry class in 27 when you was in security class. He said, brother, what do you want? I said, we need some help. He said, brother, how much help you need? I said, I need whatever you got. He said, well, 50 soldiers do? Said, yes, sir. Brother Hashim was rolling. We headed into San Antonio. He hit the national minister for the region, Robert Muhammad. He said, you mean to tell me that you bringing this brother in my region? You just telling me? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm sorry, but we need some help. He said, I'm sending you special task force. He said, I'm sending you Major Reginald. Brother, when we rolled in that morning, we stayed up all night. We went over roads. We were trouble roads. Yes, sir. We can talk all night. You got to talk to me.
No, keep teaching. He said, that's when I met, brother. That's when I met that bad black man from Houston, Texas. Brother, Cornell X came in a van with 15 soldiers. Keep teaching, brother. I'm excited. You better leave me alone. Keep teaching.
We picked the hotels and stuff, and we ran all night long, brother. We got ready for them. When the brother came in, brother Bashir Muhammad, brother was suited and booted up for our uniform. Wow, since then, I don't know. They had a contractor killing down there. He said, go down there and tell them I'm coming. I said, what? He said, you heard what I said. You go down there and tell them people I'm coming. I said, they're going to kill you, Doc. He said, hey, they got to catch me first. He went down there. Remember, he told him, get on the wall. He made all the one to kill him. Get on the goddamn wall. I tried to reach over to hit one white boy. He said, brother, I don't need you to fight my fight. I can fight my own fight. He said, I appreciate it. But, brother, you my eyes. He told me this. He told Hashim this. He told Malik this. I done seen time when y'all put me in the car, and we see you in California. I get to California, and the brother was on top of it. He said, brother, get back in the car. We're going to New York. We headed to Atlanta. Wow, next day we know we're going to Greenville, Texas. They were burning the Texas up. After that, man, whatever, Jasper, Texas. I don't know. Jasper, we got something in us that brother gave us. It's alive, like a time they've taken a lick of it, and keep on ticking. So now, if you brothers don't believe this is his spirit alive in Dallas, Texas, go on YouTube. Pull a new Black Panther Party in Dallas, Texas. See how we fled to whoop the goddamn police chief here. Brother Khalid ain't dead. I didn't go to the funeral. God damn it, he ain't dead. The Quran says, speak not of those that are dead for you perceive not, for they're still alive. We can't be goddamn dead if all of us on the motherfucking phone talking about the goddamn Black Power General himself. Say, yeah, I'm talking about you, though, Brother Khalid. Hey, you got to be down here in Dallas, Texas if you want to know Brother Khalid. Y'all talking that stuff about who you are to Brother Khalid. Hashim was the one that got shot with him. And like he said, he didn't want no movie stars around us. We learned to do what we have to do. No more, no less. For Black economic development than me, brothers and sisters. We need funds. We need help. I have a son named Khalid Jr. He's an advocate. I haven't seen him since he's been born, 4 years. But he loves the Black Power General. He quotes him because it's all I did now for 10 years. Travel. Hey, my son lives a goddamn white man fall at the back in the A with 4 years old and he speaks 5 goddamn languages. Say, brother, I'm Bob Muhammad. Hey, brother, he's been doing it all over the world. Dr. Malik, hey, you can't beat him with a stick. And the professor himself, Hashim Aziga, I ain't never seen nobody read more books than Brother Khalid and don't miss a lick. So, it is indeed a blessing as well as the privilege to serve as the Supreme Captain slash Deputy National Minister of Defense for the new Black Panther Party under Professor Hashim Aziga. Show us the dog quality, God damn it. I don't know what I'd do without you. National Minister of Information,
National Minister of Defense, the goddamn National MOD DJ, goddamn it, that motherfucking field marshal, goddamn. Who's smoking those? Hey, it's a blessing, people. It's a privilege. You just don't know what it is to be down with the liberation and the salvation of the black nation with a black power deal to come among you and lift you and something.